Hello and welcome back to Reality Check. I mentioned this on Facebook, but I'll repeat it here. I'm working on a few promotional ideas for my life coaching service. The first is a monthly subscription plan. One thing I'm finding is that clients often backburner their own mental well-being right up until the point where a crisis occurs because they've been ignoring issues or falling back into old patterns. Just like you go to the gym for consistently keeping your body in shape, you really do need to talk to someone consistently to get your mind in shape, at least for a little while, until you've established new patterns and can take over for yourself. So that's the main reason for a subscription plan. And of course, the other reason is to give clients options to save money. I haven't worked all the numbers out yet, but I'm thinking of offering a per-month discount on sessions based on how many months you sign up for ahead of time. Probably capping off at around 6 months. The reason for a cap is because while we do need a sustained period of time to establish new patterns, the 6 month mark should really be the furthest point out where we stop and reevaluate the progress and see if we can take it from weekly or bi-weekly sessions and instead switch to a monthly or bi-monthly sort of check-ins. After all, presumably part of the reason that you're coming to me instead of a traditional therapist is because you don't want to be sitting on the metaphorical couch for years and years. The other promotion I want to start is simpler, a referral reward for anyone directing paying clients to me. And the important part here is that it won't be a reward of, you know, more life coaching sessions for yourself, which if I was referring people to someone, I would be like, gee, yeah, thanks. No, I'm pretty sure I'm going to be giving away Amazon gift cards because those are actually fun things to get and use. I haven't nailed down the price point on those yet, but I'm also thinking it could change based on how well-paying the new client is. If they sign up for 3 or 6 months of sessions, it's only fair that their referrer get a reward that equals that level of commitment. So that's where my head is right now in terms of the business of my life coaching. Let me know if you have any thoughts or input on it, as I'm still in the planning phase. All right, now for this week's topic. I wanted to talk about other people, more specifically, your mindset in relation to other people. I've been noticing in my day-to-day life that people spend a great deal of time fixated on others. Now, obviously, this isn't some new thing that's only just popped up, as people have been gossiping about others since we learned to talk. But now that the internet and social media have essentially made us all feel like we live in a single giant village with each other, it's starting to feel like the volume on that gossip, along with all the emotions that come with it, have been cranked up to 11. Now, in broaching this topic, there are a few areas I want to touch on, and they all contain a mix of healthy and unhealthy approaches and facets. It's important to realize that while principles should be the compass by which you align yourself, the context is really what determines which way that compass will point. People who say things like, you know, you should just stay away from social media if you can't handle it, they mean well, but that all-or-nothing approach is both unsatisfying and it doesn't even really deal with the issues, but rather seeks to run away from them. Of course, there are times when it might be best to take a break from this or that activity so that you can figure out a healthy way of re-engaging with it, but total abstinence from anything out of a sense of fear is only going to make you feel less in control and less confident in dealing with life. The first idea I want to touch on is the notion of comparing yourself to others. Now, right away, I'll state the obvious, that it's nearly impossible to not do that, which immediately reinforces my abstinence is no answer disclaimer. Human beings are wired to compare themselves to each other, and like anything we do naturally, it can be a positive behavior or a negative one, depending on the context. First, the positive. Inspiration and secondhand learning. This will probably sound very self-evident to you all listening, but the inspiration that comes from observing that great things are possible cannot be overestimated. Penn Jillette, of the magic team Penn and Teller, he's been a juggler all of his life, and for most of it, there were pretty hard caps on what could be done. I forget the exact numbers right now, so I'll just make them up, but you should get my point either way. He talked about all this on his Penn Sunday School podcast, which I highly recommend, by the way. Up until the 90s and early 2000s, jugglers considered, let's say, 5 bowling pins to be the most that was humanly possible to juggle. Then along came widespread use of the internet, and people in places like Eastern Europe and the Balkans started uploading their videos showing that 6 pins was possible. And that was all it took. The dam broke, and in came the flood. Once human beings are made aware that a barrier can be breached, something clicks in our brains and we think, of course it can be done. and then we find it easier to repeat that. So now we have people all over the world juggling 7 or 8 pins, where only a few decades ago, 5 was the limit. We didn't suddenly become superhuman in that time, we just realized that the old limit was never really a limit in the first place. Penn even talked about how in fields like mathematics, you don't even need to see the physical evidence that a proof or a formula works. You only need to hear that someone's in the middle of writing a thesis paper on it. Once people hear that someone, somewhere, has figured it out, without even knowing how, suddenly other people start racing to get their own thesis papers out first. How can that be? Well, once it was rumored to be possible, other people decided that they could figure it out concurrently. That's how powerful inspiration is. Even the faintest whiff of someone breaking through a previously intimidating barrier is enough to unleash that flood. And the second part of that, secondhand learning, should also be pretty obvious to everyone. You don't have to learn everything yourself through trial and error. My father was quite fond of the expression, "Don't try to reinvent the wheel." Especially in our highly specialized world, where people can only really be experts on a subset of a subset of a subset of a field, it's more important than ever to realize that you can learn from others, and there's no shame in that. It doesn't matter if someone thought of something you didn't, as long as you take advantage of that and see what you can do to make the idea better. Conversely, and perhaps even more importantly, the person who can learn from others' mistakes is going to quickly get and stay ahead in the game. It boggles my mind how so many people can witness their friends in unhealthy and unfulfilling relationships, and meanwhile they're so completely blind to their own dud of a relationship. Sometimes the main value that some people will ever hold in your life is to be an example of what not to do or not to be. Not that you would keep someone like that as your friend for that reason, but there are some people that are just hell-bent on learning things the hard way, or never learning, as the case may be. Usually you can't help people like that, so instead, help yourself by learning from their mistakes. Alright, so those are the positives of comparing yourself to others. What are the negatives? You might have heard of this concept before, but we live in a time of Facebook envy. And that is the idea that you see what other people are doing in their lives based on their posts to Facebook or Instagram, and you think, wow, they are so successful, and they have all these great vacations, and they seem like they work way less hours than me. They're having all these wonderful marriages and kids, and I'm the complete opposite of that. We've probably all felt like that at some point or another, and given how socially inclined women tend to be, this phenomenon usually hits them even harder. The key to remember here is that social media is a public relations game. It's a PR arms race. Someone posts about how great their vacation is, so the next person, feeling down about their own life, posts about how cute their kids are, and the next person, in turn, seeks to feel better by posting about their latest promotion. Everyone's trying to one-up each other out of the sense of, I feel like I want to be included in the happy people group, not realizing that everyone else is often feeling inferior themselves. Now, of course, not all posts on Facebook come about because of this. But the idea is that, in general, you have to realize that what you're seeing is mostly a carefully crafted illusion. People aren't going to post that their day was uneventful and boring. You aren't going to get the full picture of how hard he had to work for that promotion, or how many sleepless nights she had to endure with her cranky baby. All those important details are left out, usually for good reason, the main one being that it would be super annoying to read about everyone's boring day every day. So for every post you see of your friends lounging on a beach drinking Mai Tais, fill in the blanks yourself before you settle on how you feel about it. Keep in mind how hard they had to work to get there, how likely it is that their flight was delayed, how there was no similar post from them last year because they couldn't afford to fly to the beach at that point. For the most part, everyone is having just as many ups and downs as you are, and everything is a give and take. Unfortunately, you're only seeing the take side on Facebook. And even outside of Facebook, when your best friend beats you to having a baby, try to keep in mind that same give and take. She is sacrificing something in her life that you have in yours in order to have that baby now. Nothing is free, and every new experience in life comes with its own set of responsibilities. To use a cliche, there's no such thing as a free lunch. Now, the last thing I want to touch on is the idea of fighting a struggle on other people's behalf. For simplicity's sake, I'll steal a term from the whole feminist debate and call that white knighting, which is a reference to a knight in shining armor coming to the rescue of a damsel in distress. But for my purposes here, I'm using the term to refer to any and all notions of, you know, I'll save you. This is a tricky subject because everyone has a different definition of helping someone, and the moment you try to tell someone that they're going about it in an unhealthy way, you'll usually get an emotional response back, which is actually evidence of exactly why I think it's a dangerous thing. Now you may quickly point out, hey Brian, aren't you doing exactly that? You're seeking to help people with your reality guidance. And that's true, but therein lies the heart of the matter. We've all heard the saying before, if you give a man a fish, he'll eat for a day. If you teach a man to fish, he'll eat for a lifetime. Not only are the practical outcomes different, but I would argue the motivation for the helpers in that saying is 100% different. Let's take the saying literally for a moment. How is the fish giver different from the fishing teacher? What goes into their differing psychologies? The fishing teacher's main goal is to get the man to be self-sufficient, and there are a few reasons for that. First, he doesn't get anything emotionally out of giving the fish to the man. If anything, it would make him sad if the man doesn't have any interest in learning. Secondly, he does enjoy emotionally seeing people fend for themselves and possess the self-esteem that comes with that. And third, he knows that the more capable people he has around him, the better off he is, because he wants more people to exchange value for value. If the man can feed himself, that means he can spend some of his other time doing something productive that the teacher can benefit from. Now, how is the fish giver different? Presumably, the giver feels the need to keep the man alive, which means he gives a fish every day, or at least with some regularity. The question is why, and the answer is almost the opposite of the teacher. At best, he feels emotionally satisfied by giving. It makes him feel special, like he's making a difference in that man's life. In this case, even to the point of life and death by staving off starvation. But at worst, the giver is actually comforted by the idea that someone is an inferior role to him. He fears other people and their success, and feels that if he can keep people dependent on him, then he's superior to them. And notice how I said that he feels his way into that conclusion. Because for most givers, it is all about feeling good and avoiding feeling scared. The teacher is working towards a more rational world, while the giver wants to maintain the status quo because ultimately, he fears competition. And all of that brings me back to the white knights. You see them all over the internet. The so-called social justice warriors, the perpetually offended, the people that rally to this or that hashtag in an attempt to feel like they're making a difference in the world, when really all they're doing is sitting on their couch with their smartphones, accomplishing nothing. It's commonly called slacktivism, or slacker activism, because much like the fish giver, they seek the emotional rush of helping without the hard work of actually making people's lives better in any kind of self-sustaining way. And in fact, more recently, it's taken a much darker turn. Remember when I mentioned that fish givers fear competition? That's exactly what leads people to adopt the idea that the ends justify the means, and that any tactics are in play so long as their cause is just. White knights these days, in their crusade for tolerance or equality or whatever positively spun banner they fly, will often try to ruin other people's lives merely for voicing what they regard as the wrong way of thinking. This includes public defamation, calls for someone to be fired and subsequently remain unhirable, calling in false violence reports, otherwise known as swatting, and on and on. It would be like after the fishing teacher taught the man how to fish for himself, the fish giver doesn't like that the man is no longer dependent on him, so he poisons the entire lake. Now, obviously, these are extreme examples I'm citing. Not all white knights are so vicious, and there are even everyday examples that you'd be surprised by. Take, for instance, the mother that pushes for her son to remain a child as long as possible because she likes the feeling of being needed. It's understandable, but the job of a parent is to produce a confident, capable adult, and a good parent is one who feels good about their child gaining their independence. The psychology of these two archetypes are almost polar opposites. And when it comes to which psychology is healthier, there's just no question. Always seek to be the fishing teacher, not the fish giver. It may feel good when someone depends on you, or when you feel like you're someone's dashing hero, but that's a temporary high. And in order to keep that high going, you're going to need a constant stream of relatively helpless people. That can only lead to becoming a vulture of human misery. even for myself, my favorite clients are the ones where I can see right away that they have enormous potential waiting to be unlocked. I feel the best when after a single session, someone achieves a major victory in their life. Sure, it may mean that they don't stay a client for very long, but that's okay. Their success isn't a threat to me. And in fact, I'm confident that in the long term, and on average, their success will be my success, even if they aren't paying to talk to me for years on end. So to wrap up, remember, be the fishing teacher. Don't get too discouraged by the PR campaigns that people post on Facebook, and learn from other people as often as you can. And with all that, thank you for listening and have a great weekend.